Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon today is from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, Jesus' conversation with a woman at Jacob's well. And I call the sermon today an unlikely conversation with an unlikely result. Friends, conversation is so important to us. I would like to tell you about a little conversation I had one day regarding land that I didn't think much of when I was growing up. It was about 3 miles south of a little town where I was a boy. And I knew there was a little church there and an old abandoned school. And we would drive by it in the country there and wonder what it was, Michigan. I didn't know much about it until a few years ago. And I started doing some research on family history. And I thought our family just kind of got off the boat somewhere around 1900 there in Michigan. I didn't know how they got to where they were. But it turned out that this land was homesteaded in the 1840s, where this little church and school were, by my great-great-grandfather. His name was George Wright. Well, I started making some inquiries about that land on the internet. And I got a letter one day from a man in Texas. I thought when I drive by this land, this corner, that it would be so nice someday if somebody in our family would restore that back to our family and put the name Wright on it. Because I found out they used to call it Wright's Corners, and it's still known as that today, though very little people know the history of it. The church there was started by my great-great-grandfather donating land for that. And the little public school there, the same way. In fact, they called it Wright School until it closed in the mid-1930s. Well, this man called me up on the phone after he wrote me the letter, and the address on the letter was somewhere, the penthouse of Pennzoil Place down in Texas. And he, over the course of the conversation, said, yeah, we meet there, and we used to rent out the school to have our family reunion, and we'll have to invite you. And he said, I've been thinking about buying that land. And I said, isn't that great that somebody in our family could own that land again? Well, that conversation I had was important to me. I don't know if he's bought it yet or if he ever will. But a conversation such as this took place at a place called Sychar. That's its New Testament name. In the Old Testament, it's called Shechem. And the importance of this land is it's the place that God said that he would bless Abraham way back in Old Testament times. He said, this land's going to be your land someday. Now, his grandson, Jacob, bought a little piece of ground there at Shechem. It's kind of a burial place, but just a small piece of ground. Later on, hundreds and hundreds of years later, when the Israelites were let go from slavery by God's mighty hand and they came into the promised land, that land was given to them, all of the Israel area, including Shechem. But by the time of Jesus' life, that land had been passed on through many other hands. Many people had conquered it. In fact, that's the interesting story about this woman who Jesus has a conversation with. People think it's odd she's speaking with her because she's not Jewish. In fact, very few of those people in that area around Samaria and Shechem were, because they had been transplanted. And that was one of the tactics of conquering nations. The Babylonians came and sent everybody off. Before that, the Assyrians. And they would transplant somebody else there to kind of break up that national spirit so they could control the people and put down rebellion. Now, the people in that area tried to imitate the Jews down in Jerusalem. They had their own place of worship there, kind of imitation. But the Jews would have nothing to do with them. They considered them Gentiles and unclean. But this conversation that Jesus has with this woman is as important as it is surprising. Because John gives Jesus' exchange that he has and notes it takes place at this odd time of day for one point. The woman's there at the noontime, and you probably heard sermons on this before about how that's a strange time to get water. Usually they do this early in the morning or at night. She's out there. Maybe she's trying to avoid other people by going out there at that time. of day. Jesus speaks to her, and she's puzzled because she's an unclean woman, being a Samaritan. But also the fact that Jesus, in those days, being a man speaking to a woman in a public place without a proper introduction, is a surprising thing today. They just didn't do that in those days. And he asked this woman for a drink. Now she's baffled. He's one of those Jews, those self-righteous ones, with their insistence of superiority on their pure bloodline and their pure religion at the temple in Jerusalem. Imagine him asking me for a drink. Why is he talking to me? These thoughts must have been running through her mind. This is just one of thousands of conversations that Jesus must have had in his ministry. It was recorded for us so that we might see our Lord caring for one of his people, and that we might learn how to do the same. Conversation is important to us in this world. We don't think that much about it, I think. But our society is no less compartmentalized today as it was back then. Yet we have many conversations each day with other people who desperately need to hear the gospel of Christ, as did this one. So many people each day we see, but so many are lonely. There are unwritten rules in our society. We teach our children it's risky to talk to strangers. We don't want to risk offending mere acquaintances by conversing with them on controversial subjects. But you notice that Jesus is apparently unconcerned by such restrictions in this conversation with this woman. He sees something of value in her. He teaches us to see the value in others that we meet. Jesus adds to the woman's astonishment when he suggests that she ask him for a drink of water. Again, she's puzzled. He doesn't seem to have a bucket or a rope. And the well there, Jacob's Well, as it's called, is very, very deep. Some wells in this area have been discovered to be 100 feet or more deep. And that's, in the conversation, the point where he reveals something about himself. Jacob may have given this well, but everyone has to come back here each day to get the water they need. But Jesus says the water that he can give quenches thirst once and for all and becomes a spring of water inside the person that gives them everlasting water. Now, this sounds too good to be true to this woman. This woman wants some of this water. Says, I won't have to come back here every day. The water you're talking about. We do well in our conversations to speak of God in such a way too. He is the one who provides us with all that we need to live. But he also gives us that hope that we need for the future. He reunites us with our Creator. He gives us purpose for living as the children of God. Such conversations between men and women in watering holes were a blessing in Israel's history. You remember from Bible history that a wife was found for Isaac at a well. Jacob met his first love, Rachel, at a well. And Moses met his wife, Zipporah, at her father's well in the Sinai Peninsula, Moab. And there's a long history of meeting nice girls at wells in the Bible. But our text reveals that this girl is not so nice that Jesus meets. Jesus knows that she's got a history. Such a woman does not fit the usual story of a nice young girl who meets the Bible hero at the well and they go off and live happily ever after. You know, it may be the same with our conversation with the person who bags our groceries at the store or the guy who fixes our car. They've got a history too. Unlike Jesus, we don't usually know what it is. But Jesus asks us to take an interest in other people so that when the time is right, we might be the one to reveal to them the hope that is in us. Now, in the conversation, one thing remains for this woman. She must face up to her current situation. When Jesus tells her to go and bring her husband, trapped by her guilt. We can almost hear her thoughts. If he finds out what kind of woman I am and how I really live, he won't give me that water. So she tells a kind of a half lie when he says, go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. Of course, the Lord sees through this lie as he sees through all our excuses for not following him. He then calls her out of hiding, mentioning that, yes, she's had five husbands and she's living with a man sinfully right then. Poor woman. Her only option left is to change the subject. That's always a good tactic. How many times has it happened to you that when you were talking with someone you care for, and you're trying to point them back to God, they change the subject then? Her question moves the conversation off her sinful past and on to where the right place of worship is. Is it in Samaria or down where you Jews say, down in Jerusalem at your temple? Jesus says here, what's most important when you worship God is to worship Him in spirit and in truth. In spirit, to know the true God is only the Holy Spirit can reveal Him to us through His Word. We depend on that Spirit to bring us the real truth about our sins and about Jesus' victory over sin. And to worship in truth so that we can tell the truth about ourselves, to admit to our sin, and so we can receive the forgiveness of Christ, the true Son of God, that we so desperately need. Yes, this woman is a big sinner. She's an adulterer. She has no respect for God's gift of marriage. She sleeps with men she's not married to. But her conversation with Jesus brings a big change. Notice the change in the story. The story began with her coming to the well at noon, apparently, to be away from other people. But it ends with her going off to tell everyone and to talk to them about what just happened. In the story, she changes the subject and lies to Jesus to cover up the embarrassing details of her past. But at the end of the conversation, she ends up saying to all the other people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Now, I'd say that's quite a powerful conversation. Jesus has the power to transform lives through ordinary conversations that we might have. We've got a great story to tell as well. It's the story of how God takes sinful human beings like us and restores us to a place of honor. It's the story of the love of Jesus who finds something valuable in every person, no matter who they are, what they've done in the past. And it's the story of the love of God who gave the person He loved most over to death to win back strangers and former enemies. Yes, casual conversation can be a powerful thing when Jesus is at the center of it. Back to the land. You know, that was so precious to me and might be restored to some of the family there. As I said, this land that around Samaria was taken away from the Jews and conquered by other people, and then here this woman is part of a race of people that are resettled there, have really no blood connection to the Jews very much at all. But you know, Jesus fulfills here in a simple conversation what was promised to Abraham. Now this woman has become a child of Abraham by faith and has been restored to the kingdom of God. And now the land that she lives in, the promise is fulfilled, and again, it's been brought back into the family. Because she has become a true Israelite. This is the power of God in the lives of His people. This is the power of the words that He puts into us that we have avenue to share with others in meaningful conversation. You might ask, well, I don't know what I would say to someone who I had a chance to witness to, but really it's very simple. You don't need a great theological degree, of course, to do this. God called simple fishermen and others in Bible times, and He calls you. You don't need a great outline to memorize, although some people that helps. Just simply tell what it means to be a Christian to you. Tell your friends, your neighbors, your acquaintances what it means to be a Christian. What it means to hear God's Word. What it means to know that, yes, that you are a sinner and you deserve nothing from God. But in the for living each day, and will in the last day raise you up and all the dead give you everlasting life. Tell them the meaning of that in your life. How that you pass that on to your children because it's the most important thing. This is all that God asks of us. We treasure this so much that we can't help teaching, telling other people this good news. Let Jesus be the center of your conversation. And your casual conversation can be a powerful thing. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the living water that satisfies all our thirst. Empower our conversations with strangers, co-workers, and our families and friends, that they may be brought in the kingdom of heaven. Let your Spirit bless our words. In your holy name we pray. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.